Okay, take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 6. Last week we looked at the word blessed, blessed, and blessing, which are all, you know, derivatives of a Greek word, to see what they mean to us. And we noted that the word bless or blessed in English has another Greek word that means happy. So the second meaning of the group of the word is as follows. It's makarizo, which is a verb meaning to consider blessed or happy. Makarismos, which is the noun, meaning blessedness or happiness. And makarios, which is an adjective, meaning blessed or happy. So, you know, blessed and happy are similar in meanings, but not totally. And we know that depending on context, words can mean different things, right? And sometimes a Greek word will have different translations in English because it can mean more than one thing depending on context. So we're going to look at different things pertaining to what makes us happy. In religion, to bless can mean to consecrate by a ceremony or a rite. You know, the bishop comes and he sprinkles or something like that. It can mean involve favor upon, you know. God blesses you in some way. It means he's looked favorably upon you. It can mean to be that a person means holy, is holy, or they're adored or praised. Blessed can mean those things. We know the word for bless is the word eulogio, which we get the word eulogy. It means to praise or speak well of, among other things. So it can mean that. And then bless can mean to confer well-being upon, to make happy or prosper. So these words are similar, but they're not identical, to quote a movie. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And this is really interesting. Jesus Christ speaking. And he says, blessed are ye. This is not the Sermon on the Mount. People confuse this with the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. This is the sermon, another one, but it's similar. And he says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you. Oh, verse 20, sorry.
21.
22. Where? Hold on. Where'd I go?
Luke 6.
Luke 6. I'm in Luke 6.
And 20.
20. Sorry. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. Disciples was what? His followers, right? And just because they were disciples, later on, a lot of his disciples left. So they were there. They followed him, but they didn't always stick. So anyway, it says, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Pretty crazy. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So he's drawing an analogy. He said, you know, you're going to take some criticism and some persecution because you've believed in me and followed me. And so did the prophets because they spoke the word and you know, the people criticized and persecuted them. Right? So, and so the word in verse 20, blessed, and 21 and 22, is all the same word. It's makarios, which means blessed. It's an adjective describing these people as blessed or happy. So, you know, you may be hungry now, but in the future you're going to be filled. So, right? And then he goes, blessed, you're poor now, but in the future you're going to be taken care of. You're going to be in the kingdom. Blessed are those that are sad now, because in the future you're going to be really happy and blessed. You're going to laugh, and so on and so forth. And then he says, rejoice ye in that day, leap for joy. You know, and that's the happiness that he's describing, that you should leap for joy about the things that you know are coming in the future for you. Your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So, you know, in verses 24 through 26, the context, or it's in contrast with the word woe. You know, blessed, and then the contrast is woe. And woe means to have great sorrow or grief or misery. So people that are riding high on the hog now in the world that don't believe in Jesus Christ, well, they're maybe have all these things, but later on they're going to have sorrow and misery. And verse 23 gives great understanding of Makarios as it is describing the blessedness or happiness, which is to rejoice and to leap for joy. You know, so we, because of what we know is coming in the future, we are to rejoice and leap for joy. And the working translation that Walter Cummins did, and it says, the blessedness or happiness spoken of in these statements from Luke 6 was not something, it's not the translation, but his note, I'm sorry, was not something that God had already blessed them with, but rather it was something which they could have had by considering what was to come in the future, rather than considering the present circumstances. See? So life is not always perfect. You know, we go through difficulties and times, but we do have assurances of the future. Let's go to Luke 10. Luke 10, verse, we're going to look at 23, and then we're going to go back and pick up the context. It says, and he turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. And he's talking, and it's in reference to the 70 that he sent out. So let's go back to verse 17. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy. Doesn't say happiness, but it says joy, which is a different thing. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Because they went out, what? He sent them out, and he gave them instructions, and they healed people, and they cast out devil spirits, and people saw deliverance. And so they came back, and he said, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, but that the spirits are subject unto you. But rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. That's the real thing to rejoice over. Yeah. It's not just, you know, you healed somebody or something great happened, but we rejoice over the fact that we have eternal life with him in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who is the who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto the disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see these things which you see. Blessed, Makarios. You know, they're happy at what you saw and what you have seen. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see. Not so much the healings and the casting out of spirits, but they saw the coming of the Messiah. That's what they really looked forward to. They looked to the coming of the Messiah, the one that was promised from Genesis on. And he said, for I tell you, many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Because they heard Jesus Christ teach, right? And reveal. He came to declare God. People understood God in one way, but when he came, he opened up a whole new understanding of God. And Mark, it was all about to be a son of God and to have a relationship with God, which they never even imagined. Let's go to chapter 11. And it says in verse 27, and it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. So that's what she says. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And the word there is blessed is happy. Happy are those that hear the word of God and keep it. You know, to hold fast to it, to have it as an important part of your life. We're happy to hear the word and then to keep it in our hearts. Let's go to chapter 20 of Acts. This is a great one, if I do say so myself. And verse 35, which you all know, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it's the word Makarios, which means happy. Those who give are happier than those that receive. That's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
I shared one time, I read this article, and these guys did a study, and they gave money to people, and then the people came back and they asked them what they did with it, and they found out that the people that gave the money or spent it on others were happier than those that spent it on themselves, which is pretty interesting. Doesn't mean a whole lot, because the word of God means more than what these guys studied, but it's just, it's a fact in life that when people are giving, they're happier. And people that don't give are not happy, for the most part. So Jesus Christ said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And, of course, it says here, remember the words of Jesus, because this is not written anywhere in the Gospels, is it?
Right.
It's just here. Luke wrote it down by revelation, and God told him that Jesus Christ said this, and so it's written in Acts. That's the only place it's written. So let's go to Romans chapter 4. Written more particularly to us than the Gospels, although those records there are pretty instructive and help us to understand. Chapter 4 of Romans and verse 6, it says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Describeth the happiness of a man when God does not impute or credits him with righteousness without doing anything good. Because we know why. Righteousness comes by believing, right? That if thou confess thy mouth, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved, right? We confess unto righteousness and believe unto salvation. So, righteousness comes by believing in Jesus Christ. That's what makes you right or righteous in God's eyes. And David foresaw this and wrote it in the Psalms. And he said, you know, when you realize that righteousness comes to you because you believed, you're happy. It's not about works. And then he goes on, verse 7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Happy. When you know that your sins are forgiven, you're happy. You know, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go, oh man, I'm going to take a beating on this at the judgment day. Right? You don't have to because they're forgiven. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that walk around worrying about that, aren't there? You know, burdened down with, oh man, I'm such a horrible, evil person and I've sinned and God's going to hit me with the hammer. Well, that's not what this says. Blessed, happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed, happy is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin, doesn't credit sin. He's not sitting there with a ledger, and every time you sin, he puts a black mark next to your name. You think that's great, huh? I think it's great. I'm happy about that, because he'd probably run out of paper with me.
It's not Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's not Santa. That's right. How anti-God is that whole idea?
Right.
You know, it screws up, you know, what it means to be good and what it means to be righteous in God's eyes. It screws up the whole idea of what a gift is, because you have to earn that gift, so it's really not a gift. You know, the whole thing is dopey, to say the least. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to shoot Santa Claus. Of course, if they see him at the link, they may throw snowballs at him. Okay. Some of you don't even know what we're talking about right now. One time, it was a guy dressed up as Santa Claus at an Eagles game, and they threw snowballs at him. It's famous, or infamous, as the case may be. So, then it says in verse 9, cometh this blessedness or happiness then upon the circumcision only, Israel only, or upon the uncircumcision, the Gentile? For we say that faith or believing was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. He was credited or accounted righteous because he believed God, and so to us. Let's go to Romans 14. Happiness. What a great thing. Blessed is a great thing. Being blessed by God is a great thing. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. And we should be happy. We have happiness. Nothing wrong with happiness. We'll start in verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And to God is omitted in the Greek text. It's not there. So then every one of us shall give an account of ourselves. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Now, chapter 14 in Romans, what we just read in chapter 4 is in the doctrinal section, the instruction. Chapter 14 is in the practical section of how we apply the word, how we live life. So it says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded. Now this goes back to in the beginnings of Christianity, you had first Jews, right, that converted. Those were the first people that were Christians, the Jews in Judah, in Jerusalem. And then it spread out and it went all over Judah and then Samaria and then where? To the rest of the world, the uttermost parts of the earth. So Rome was the uttermost parts of the earth. And at that time, there were Jews and Christians in these fellowships, and he's writing to them because the Jews were holding on to the law. You know, you had to do this, boom, you had to do that, you had to keep this holiday, you had to keep this holy day, you had to, you know, keep the dietary laws and all the other stuff. So he says, I know, we'll see, put a stumbling block. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. And this is referring to basically food and things like that. You know, even the clothing they wore, they weren't supposed to wear clothing that the cloth was a mixture of cotton and wool, say, or linen and wool. It was supposed to be pure. Okay? But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. You know, some people can have stuff and it's not a big deal, and other people can't. Some people can have a drink of alcohol and that's it, and it doesn't affect them. And others, once they start drinking, they can't stop. So if that person deems it as unclean, you know, if he can't handle that, that's his life. You know, that's what he needs to do to walk with God. It really comes down to whatever is going to prevent you from walking with God and being, you know, your best for God. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, you know, if you eat pork or shellfish, like I do, now walkest thou not charitably. You know, and there would be some people in these days and times that they would be offended if you ate pork or shellfish or some other things. We were in Italy, this guy fed us cuttlefish. I don't know if you know what a cuttlefish is. Yeah. It's weird. Disgusting. Ugly, and it's disgusting. That offends me. Okay, just letting you know. You may try it and like it. God bless you. Just don't ever feed it to me. Please. Okay. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. You know, we don't want to put a stumbling block. We don't want to be a burden to somebody else because of what we do. So when you're with that person, you know, if they were to come to your house, you would kind of know what they would like to eat and you want to bless them, right? Or if you take them out to dinner, you don't take them to a place that they're going to hate because you want to... I remember somebody took me to a vegan place because they wanted to convince me I needed to like... And I hated it, you know. I didn't feel, you know, I didn't condemn him for it, but, you know, it wasn't a blessing. Okay. It says, let then not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. You know, so things in of themselves are not unclean. It's how we deal with them, how we do them. Things are not evil in and of themselves. You know, a gun's not evil. It's the person that uses it. Mm-hmm. You know, and most things like that. I guess there might be something in the world that's evil. I don't know. You know, drugs are not necessarily evil. It's how they're misused. At times, they're very beneficial, right? But when they're misused, then they're evil. It's pretty simple to understand. Okay, so let us follow after things that make for peace, where we may edify, build up one another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou believing? I remember one time I was counseling somebody, and they had had a drinking problem. And somebody said, well, if you're really healed, you can just go drink. Yeah. And I said, that's not probably the way you should look at it. I said, look, you had a problem once and you got over it and you're healed. Stay away from it. Why would you open the door to the devil and let him in again. So be wise, okay? You may be healed, but why take the chance? Like, I was a heroin addict. I can take one shot. What? You smoked once and you quit. I quit smoking after 36 years. I would never touch a cigarette. I wouldn't take a drag. I wouldn't chew tobacco. I wouldn't smoke a pipe because I'd be back on it in a week. You just got to use common sense with stuff. Anyway, that's sermonizing. That's not teaching the Bible here. Verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Thou hast believing, have it of thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith or believing. For whatsoever is not of faith or believing is sin. So, you know, in verse 22, it says, happy is he that condemneth not himself. That's the word, same word as translated blessed, makarios, happy. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. Verse 13. And, this is great, I love this one, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The word blessed is happy. Looking for that happy hope. It's an alliteration. The happy hope of heaven. What a great thing, huh? The happy hope. Looking for that happy hope. And let's go to James chapter 1. Right after Hebrews. Chapter 1, verse 25, it says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that would be the gospel, right? The gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ, and continueth therein, he being not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed, should be happy in his deed, in all he does. What a great thing. Now, I want to look at a couple in the Old Testament because the Old Testament is really good and it's very practical. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1 and we'll be done in a couple of minutes. I promise. At least by 2:30. Chapter 1 of Psalms. Verse 1. And again, in the Old Testament, there are some words that mean blessed and there's a particular word that means happy. I didn't write it down. I think it's Asher. A-S-H-E-R or A-S-C-H-E-R. I can't remember. Anyway, it says, blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scorners. But, continuing on, he's happy if he doesn't do these things, but in contrast, he does these things. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, happy is a man, he doesn't hang out with sinners. He doesn't take the counsel or the advice of the ungodly, and he doesn't sit in the seat of those that reject God. But instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. He speaks the word to himself. Let's go to Psalm 33. We're only looking at a couple of them. There's many, many more. Verse 12. This is a great one. You all know this verse. It's also in the New Testament, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, meaning Jehovah, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Happy is the nation whose Lord is God. And I would say that our country was a much happier country back in the days when it was settled by believers, Christians, originally.
Even in my lifetime.
Well, that's almost back in the beginning. I couldn't resist that.
It's true.
Okay. Chapter 34, next, Psalm 34, next psalm over. It says in verse 8, Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in him. Mm-hmm. You know, we're happy when we trust in God because we know he's going to take care of us. He's going to watch over us. And there's a lot of peace and happiness in that, right? Psalm 41. In verse 1, it says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. You know, we look out for people that need help. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. That's pretty great. And Proverbs chapter 8. And that's the last one we're going to look at. Verse 32. Okay. Everybody there? Verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed, happy are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed, happy is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth, well, we don't have to go any further. That's it. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. You know, you're there for God. You're waiting to hear from him, and you're happy. Because he'll speak to you. He'll show you. He'll lead you. He'll direct you. So happiness, blessed and happy, are two great things that God shows us we can have in our lives. We just have to do what he says, and it's pretty great. Happiness is a good thing. You know, we talk about happiness at this time of year. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Well, merry means happy, right? So, but really, happiness has to do with God. And when we put God in our lives and we know what he's done for us and we carry out his word, we're going to be pretty happy in life. So, and it's really a choice, you know, you decide you want to be happy and then you do what he says. If you don't want to be happy and you want to be miserable, that's your choice. But he shows us very clearly and distinctly how we can be happy and how we should be happy and why we should be happy. We have a happy hope. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us and loving us. And that we can have a really happy day and a happy week, as well as a blessed week and a blessed day. And we just thank you that you're always there blessing us and always looking to bless us and help us and do for us in every way. And God, that we can also want to do for you, that we can want to give to you, that we can want to walk for you and bless you and do your will. And we thank you for this in the great and wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.